Pete tries to sing Uptown Funk.
We cannot be touched right. We cannot be touched right. Hey, 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 how?
Can I smell your balls? And I mean this for real, because you said they always smell.
Oh, no, fuck out of here.
No. Oh, that's okay. Close the garage door. That's not secret code. The garage door was open, so I closed it. Presence of K-pop threads on the forums attracting all the Korean casino spam. No, it's the spam like that is, they're not necessarily even trying to get you, the Giant Bomb forums user, to, go to those sites and use them. It's kind of an SEO thing. Like, they're posting, you know, they're finding sites that are of a certain size and, like, Google notability, you know, Google kind of page rank type stuff. And they are posting a bunch of links to their sites from a site that Google thinks is a legitimate site. So then Google's algorithm gets fooled into thinking that the site being linked to is a legitimate site and puts it higher in the search rankings and so on and so forth. That's typically how that stuff is supposed to work. But I'm pretty sure that, we actually have those links set up. Like, there's a no-follow on all those links. So Google's, search bots know not to index whatever pages get linked, whatever off-site pages get linked from Giant Bomb, because we've told them that that's not to be done. So it kind of reduces the usefulness of that spam to the pure, someone's going to click on this and get fooled, which is not really effective. You know, you're not reaching that many people. Like, the amount of resources you have to devote to that sort of stuff is probably not worth it. Especially because we've put enough bumps and roadblocks in, account sign-up that, at some point there's a farm of people out there manually registering accounts specifically to set up these bots and do this stuff. It's fascinating. and, like, totally useless. Like, it's not, you know, like, no one, they are not benefiting from this operation on us. I mean, maybe other sites, you know, it works a little differently, but, you know, with us, there's very little reason for them to do that. They just don't know that, I guess. And that's why, you know, like, I posted something to Twitter yesterday that was, like, a screenshot of an email I got from someone saying, like, we want to write an article in your site's tone and voice, and we will pay you to run said article on your website. And you read it, and you're like, well, that's obviously some kind of fucking horrific scam thing, but, like, what, you know, what's the actual thing? It's the exact same thing. Like, they would write an article that would have links to some external site or product or something, and they're probably reaching out to a zillion different sites to try to do that, and then it gets the Google PageRank of whatever the fuck product they're marketing up. And that's nuts. That's fucking really wild. And, like, I guess they wouldn't do that. So I actually got a question to my Tumblr yesterday that said, like, hey, do you want to make money linking to our products? Write back and ask me how. And it's like, that shit is just everywhere. Like, you know, like, there are dirtbags out there that are looking at legitimate internet and trying to find a way in on it, you know? And that's how, you know, you get a lot of, you know, you'll get people saying, like, we can bring more traffic to your website. And it's through these, like, fucking dumb, like, around the web units, that are like, you know, these, it's like a web ring for money or some nightmarish thing. It's like, I'm not 100% sure how that stuff exactly works, but it's like, they just kind of get as many sites into that as possible, and then they just feed a bunch of links around to each other, and they collect money from everyone in the process. But it's all fake traffic. It's all just, like, fucking people clicking to other people, you know, like, it's, you know, you're boosting it up, but, like, are the value of those people coming in, you know, does that fucking mean anything? Like, not really, you know? You go out and buy traffic. Plenty of sites do it. They'll pay money to get ads on other sites or hire in, like, Google, like, AdWords or whatever, which is, like, the ads in search results stuff, or, you know, there's, like, it's just straight up audience acquisition at some point. Like, you know, companies have departments devoted to that stuff when they want to go down that road. But, like, you know, you have to consider the quality of those users. Like, what percentage of those people are going to click on more than one page? What percentage of those users, I mean, especially in our case where, you know, we would, you know, appreciate it if people liked our stuff enough to want to, like, sign up for a premium membership, right? You know, how many of those people that just, like, kind of, like, are not interested in the specific types of stuff that we're doing, you know, like, how many of them are going to, like, get on the site and then stay there, you know? So it's, like, this short-term bump in, like, very generic traffic that, like, probably doesn't have a long-term effect other than, like, you spending a lot of money on a bunch of, like, unqualified leads or whatever. And those, like, those around the web, like, you know, what are they, affiliate, no, it's not affiliate links, what the fuck are they even called? We have one of those units on the site, like, I, you know, it's that shit is stupid. And it's one of those things where it's like, you look at it like the money being offered to run one of those units is, like, kind of a lot. And at some point, you know, there are fights I can win and fights I cannot win. And when there's a bunch of, like, a dumb amount of money attached to something, it's like, well, this is a bad ad unit and it's lame, but there are way worse ad units that I'm much rather would fight against. Like, shit that's gonna fucking pop out of the top slot and say, you should buy this thing. I'm like, no, no, don't do that. It's kind of one of the exciting things about, like, Flash on the internet slowly dying. Like, there's some stuff that's bad about that if you make flash games or let's say you have a video player that is only good at serving up ads to flash users but not HTML5 users, then you have some refactoring, some rebuilding, some stuff, some work to do. But at the same time, like, flash going away sounds great, because, you know, you think about the number of just fucked up ads that rely on flash and just have these big pop out just horrible thing. I mean, yeah, I'm sure you can do some of that stuff in HTML5 just fine too, but, you know, ideally it would not be as much of a resource like hog as flash is. You know, that's always the best. Like, here's a fucked up ad that is somehow running at one frame a second, and deal with it, motherfucker. Like, that's just, there's no part of that is good. Speaking of spam, I don't know, but that's, you know, like, that's the thing, is, like, the ad market kind of does it to itself, you know. It's one of those things that instead of, like, seeing the trend of ad blockers and all that other stuff and thinking, well, hey, maybe there's a happy medium here where we can, you know, like, stave off, like, we can do some ads that are, like, effective but not, like, terrible. You know, a lot of the ad market goes the other way with it and goes, well, let's fucking crank up the ad machine because the current ads aren't working, so obviously we need bigger, crazier ads, which then just in turn inspires more people to block, which leads to bigger, even crazier ads, and then it all blows up at some point. And then, yeah, you get the big trend of, like, native advertising and stuff like that, where it's just straight up kind of looks like content and, you know, in a textual form, I think that's a little crazy. There's a part of me that isn't necessarily opposed. Like, you think about, like, think about old television and radio, current, you know, even current radio to a certain extent, like the nature of, like, how ads work into that stuff. And it's not unlike what we do on the podcast. Where, like, you know, I think Conan was doing it a little bit when he moved to TBS for the first, you know, when he, those handfuls of shows where he was like, hey, here's a segment of the show where I'm going to go show you this car. And then he kind of becomes a pitch man for a little bit. It's like, on one hand, it's like, well, that's kind of sleazy. But on the other hand, it's like, well, you know, also, like, Conan O'Brien is not necessarily, like, in a position where he has to, like, think about, like, the ethics of what he's doing. You know, it's or to a certain extent, right? Like, you look at it and go, oh, man, I wish Conan didn't have to do that. But also, like, you know, Conan's in business. Like, he's in the business of getting ratings, in the business of doing that. And he's not, you know, he's not designed as a trusted voice or any of that sort of stuff. He's an entertainer, you know, it's kind of a different thing. And yeah, so, but at the same time, like, that stuff's really interesting. I don't know, like, I feel like we've done pretty okay with the podcast ad stuff. Like, people seem to like it, which is, but not like it more than the podcast around it, which is, like, the tricky balancing act, right? You don't want to put too much work into the ads, because then you're like, well, now I'm putting all this work into ads. That's ridiculous. Like, this is supposed to be the minor little afterthought thing, that we want to make it suck as little as possible for people, while still, like, having this thing be sustainable so we can continue doing it. And that's the tricky part, is like that realization of, like, well, you know, like, this sort of stuff is a business too. And it's like, okay, how do you like have a place that where you can kind of make money, but but it's not confusing to anyone, it's not invasive or frustrating to anyone, but people are still seeing it and it's still effective. And like, some that might be impossible, you know, that might actually be impossible, but like, I don't know, we're walking kind of a line with that stuff with like the podcast ads, and it's actually doing really well for us, really well. So, you know, hopefully people aren't too put out by that stuff. And, you know, it's the sort of thing where it's why we have the premium subscription also. So you can kind of say like, hey, you know, I don't want the ads. It's like, okay, well, we've got something for you then over here. But yeah, it's hard, you know, like the, all that stuff. So like, the commercial interests of the internet are dark sometimes and nasty. And I want to try to do what I can to keep that away from what we do. And that means like, you know, hey, you know, someone's saying like, hey, we want to get approval to run this new type of ad on the website. And I'd say, hey, you need to really clearly label it. You need to make sure that this thing is like, no, I don't want anyone to ever confuse this for like not an ad. I don't ever want anyone to be deceived. Like they clicked on something and ended up somewhere. They're like, wait a minute. Whoa, whoa, whoa. This is not at all an article about this new phone. So I spend some amount of time on that specific sort of stuff. And that can be frustrating, because that's not like, you know, I don't love spending any time on, like, that sort of stuff, you know? Like, hey, let's have a bunch of meetings about how we're going to make these ads less shitty. Like, it sucks. You wish that, like, people would come in with, like, unshitty ads to begin with, and you'd be like, all right, cool. And sometimes that's the case, but generally not. It's kind of why, yeah, it is kind of why I like doing, like, the podcast ads and that sort of approach. Like, it's weird to be, like, voicing that stuff and, like, hey, here I am telling you about a thing. But, we, you know, we've drawn pretty specific lines about, like, you know, there's no personal endorsement attached to that. It's never like, hello, I'm Jeff Gerstmann from GiantBomb.com, and when I'm not recording a podcast, I'm using this product or service. Like, it's, you know, the ads are a little less committal than that, which I'll grant you is kind of a minor thing, but it helps me feel better about it. Like, if these things were like, hey, you need to talk about how you use this product, which some of them, like, some of the ad copy we get for the podcast will say stuff like, insert a personal anecdote here about blah, 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 and we just kind of ignore that part. But no, we've had, you know, I'm not going to say no complaints. We've had next to no complaints about the advertising. It sounds like the podcast advertising is something that people who listen to the show are all right with, and the people that are advertising on the show are happy with, like, the results they're getting. So that's cool. But it's why, you know, like, you don't hear, and, you know, it's part of the pocket universe that the ads exist in. It's like, you know, there's no, you do not hear our real names on those ads. Which is also, again, that's kind of just something for me. That's just a little something that I threw in there. It's like, yeah, I don't even want to put our names in this stuff. It's sort of its own thing. And we'll make it work. Don't worry about it. We'll make it work. But it's not going to be that stuff. And even that was a fight at the start. Like, there was definitely, like, there was, like, a, one of the, you know, slash Bombcast, like, offer pages or, you know, that you'd end up on at one point. Like, it was one of the first ads we did for the podcast, so I was, like, really extra sensitive to it. And the page had, like, some quote that was attributed to me. And I was like, no, that's, no. Like, if you want to attribute that to the website, you can, but not to me individually. Yeah, you like to think that, like, the internet's going to continue to... I mean, it always does, but how it evolves is the thing. Like, you want to think the internet's going to continue to evolve. And, you know, in a way that, like, destroys a lot of the shitty ads and that sort of stuff eventually. You know, like, ad blocker rates will get so high. There'll be so much malware mixed in with the ads that everyone, you know, ends up blocking ads. And that's that way of life becomes unlivable for... people, you know, and it's like that's a scary thing if you're in business on the internet, because that's a lot of where a lot of the current money comes from. And, you know, people that are overly reliant on that sort of stuff, like, it'll be harder and harder for them to make money. But I kind of always saw that as an opportunity to go, like, you know, let's figure out what's next and try to build that in a way that's not terrible. So that when the internet is moving in that direction, it's, you know, you're kind of there, you know, it's, and I think you'll see, you know, you see it happening, you know, more and more premium services on the internet that people are willing to sign up and pay for, but also, like, advertising models that are less blockable and less invasive as, you know, as a part of that, you know, it's like, okay, we know people can't necessarily block this, because it's us talking in the middle of an MP3, for example. And, you know, let's make sure that we're using that responsibly and not, like, weighing the show down, weighing a podcast down with too many ads, or that those ads are all terrible and blaring at you, and, you know, like let's try to be responsible about this stuff. Well, before... like, all the nightmare ad people come in and fuck it all up. And, you know, it's the sort of thing that maybe it leads to a lot of smaller, kind of niche-focused businesses where you have people in a place where, like, this is a specific thing, and that's why they're willing to pay for it, because their needs are not being met that way anywhere else. And... you know, the era of, like, here's this big website that's going to do millions and millions of views, and everyone who, for example, cares about video games, this is the site you should be using. Like, that era is over, and it has been for a long time. Like, gaming grew to a point where, like, a site like that can only be so big now, and it's not as big as it was 10 years ago. And a lot of those people aren't necessarily even seeing the ads, so at some point it's like, is that traffic even valuable? Thank you. The thing I've always wondered about is, like, what happens when, and it sort of has happened, but not in, like, a meaningful way, but, like, you know, what happens when a service or, like, a product that we talk about as a not ad a lot, something that comes up, let's, you know, like a fast food thing or something like that, what happens if we get sponsored by them? Like, how do we handle that? Because then people will think if we're talking about it offhand that it's part of an ad. But what if we just happen to be talking about it and, oh, by the way, they are sponsoring the podcast this week, and here's the ad spot where we're talking about it, but then here's us talking, you know, it's like that stuff starts to get weird. It happened a little bit with, like, it didn't really happen in that sense, but, like, we did ads for Hover for a while, and I use Hover. But I kind of stuck to it and said, like, I'm not going to, like, no part of the ad is going to be I use Hover, because that's, even if that's true, like, the personal endorsement stuff is not part of this. But on the other hand, you know, sometimes I look at all this stuff and look at how much time I spend thinking about, like, that type of perception thing, and then look at the rest of the internet and see that, like, there's a ton of people who just don't give a shit about that stuff. You know, it's like, hey, you know, like, this guy on YouTube is sponsored by the thing that he's talking about, and I'm watching this video anyway. And you look at it and go, like, man, like, there's just, like, a huge segment of the audience that has never cared about that sort of stuff. And you know, the amount of hand-wringing I do, at some point you're like, is it worth it? And for me it is, because it's like, this is how I fucking sleep at night, you know? It's not about, like, well, I'm a journalist and that person's not a journalist. Like, the, you know, like, that's, like, those lines are weird to draw, and on, you know, the things we do are a little different than the things that a lot of other people would do, you know? Like, I, you know, someone, I have to actually respond to an email someone wrote me. It was a very nice, like, offer, and like, I bet it would be fun and stuff. Like, it was offered to host a PAX panel for a game publisher. Like, hey, we're doing a panel. We're looking for someone to kind of, you know, host the panel. Like, would you be interested in doing it? I was like, you know, that'd actually probably be a great time. But, like, no, I don't think I want to get into that. It seems a little weird. And it's not like money changes hands. They're not saying, like, hey, we're going to pay you to do this or anything like that. But that's a weird, that feels weird for me. So, like, I'm going to not do that, I guess. And then I start to look at it and go, like, well, I mean, why? Why would I not do it? It's like, well, it puts me in kind of a weird position. It's a game we have covered. And it's a game that I like, which is why they asked. But yeah, you know, it's something that I just don't necessarily feel super comfortable with that. There's so much dust and dirt on this road. I don't know, like, do they come through here with a dust truck and just, like, jackknife it or something? This is fucking crazy out here. So, yeah, you know, like, yesterday a bunch of people kind of got at me and were like, did you see what so-and-so said about Metal Gear Solid 5 and they're all the people at this event and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, yeah, no, totally. They should do that. If that's something they want to do, they should do it. Like, we were offered a chance to go to that event and play that game and turn it down because it didn't seem, like, useful for us in the ways that we like to cover games. Like, yeah, I could go play that game for a few days, and then it would turn into, like, I don't know, 20 minutes on the podcast, as opposed to, like, a quick look, as opposed to, like, you know, that sort of stuff, because the specific restrictions around it, and like, also, like, when we would get a copy of the game in-house to do what we want with, you know, wouldn't change at all. So it's just like, well, you know, that's not... At some point, as crazy as it sounds, it's not worth my time to go spend 2 days playing Metal Gear Solid 5 in Konami's offices. Because I'm going to play it anyway. We're going to produce stuff around that game, but we don't want to compromise the way we cover Jewel. I've heard a lot of stuff like that, too. Fairly Do are getting, like, the appropriate amount of attention, which is to say somewhat less in the nav bar than they are now. Like, kind of roll it in with, like, other text-based stuff, probably. Because, like, the loud and clear thing we get from the numbers, from feedback, like, everything, talking to people, the thing we hear time and time again is, like, hey, you know, I like watching quick look videos because it gives me a real sense of what that game is in a way that reviews don't. It's like, okay, well, as it turns out, quick looks are way easier to do than reviews, way less time consuming. So we'll focus a little bit more on those and figure out review stuff as we go. So we're thinking about different directions with that stuff. I think you could look at Austin's Galaxy review and kind of maybe get a sense of, like, you know, there's probably something more to do around about the quality of a game than just day one saying, the graphics are good, the gameplay, I don't know, sounds good. Anyway, move on. You should buy this game, I guess, or not, whatever. Like, the traditional game review is kind of pointless. So I don't know. For me, it's about, like, figuring out, like, what is actually... What's the relevant thing to say there? What's the meaningful thing to say there in a world where a lot of people just want quick looks and that sort of coverage? Because it also gives us, like, a really great, clear reason, like, to finish games, which quick looks do not. Give us always a great reason to finish games. So you run into that weird thing of, like, you know, you have to keep a balance of, like, okay, we can't just play the first 3 hours of every video game. That's not great. That's not a good place to be. So, how do we do a lot of quick looks, because that's what people like, and, you know, people want us to cover games and stuff like that, but how do we actually make sure that we're still, you know, doing what we need to do? I think part of it, you know, and part of it becomes, like, you know, with the written stuff, at least, like, it's the notion of, like, an approach more based around criticism than a product review. And in that sort of situation, you know, you're writing something that someone who has played the game will still get something out of, whereas, like, you know, purchasing advice isn't necessarily useful to those people. So it's like, okay, but we've all played this game at this point because it's a month old or something. You kind of remove the timeliness out of that equation and focus on, like, okay, here's what we really want to say about this thing after the fact. And you know, that's one of those things that's like, if you were just going pure business on it, if you were looking at reviews and looking purely at the business of reviews, you would do everything in your power to have a review up at whatever embargo time, be the first review out the door, the cut every corner you can, just make sure you've got that fucking review on your website, minute one. And I think there are a lot of people out there rolling like that, and I think it sucks. Like, I did it for a lot of years, and I know exactly why it sucks. Like, that's not a fun job anymore at some point. So that's what I mean when I say pick our shots. Like, you know, if we can have something in that time frame and don't feel like, you know, we're compromising any part of our process, then great. That's the ideal situation, right? You know, because then we've got something on the site at the same time that people are looking for it. Hopefully they're getting some value out of it. And also, like, more people are looking for it around that time. So, you know, the traffic is better. But I'd rather be right about something than just be first. And, you know, like, you gotta kind of balance that out. Also, we're still a small crew compared to a lot of teams out there. So, you know, it's the sort of thing where, like, we can't really cover everything. So we, by nature, pick and choose and kind of curate a little bit. But at the same time, like, recording a podcast is still, like, the thing that I enjoy the most. If we were built in such a way that, like, we recorded one or two podcasts a week and then spent the rest of the time researching things and experiencing things to then convey on the podcast, like, that to me would be kind of ideal. But we're way more than that, you know, there's the video component, there's all this other stuff, so. But we'll see how it goes. I don't know, we're definitely getting into the season where games that we want to review are getting ready to come out. You know, like, I'm spending time playing that Gears of War remake, which, you know, like, I'm more just kind of curious about. That's not like, oh man, this is going to be a key review, you know. It's just like, you know, I'm kind of curious to see how Gears of War holds up almost a decade later. And I've been playing kind of a lot of Super Mario Maker, which I happen to think is pretty fucking good. That's not a review. My early impressions are, I like some things about that thing. But I have not seen all of it yet either. In fact, I think we're gonna play some of that on the show today. Like, Nintendo being Nintendo, there's a bunch of weird restrictions in place as to, like, which costumes you can show, and which this you can do, and that. And, And now it's time to crack open this ice-cold can of this delicious... That's like the awkward, like, you know, I don't know how I would deal with it. I drink one can, approximately one can of lemonade flavored Rockstar Recovery every morning. It's my energy drink of choice. And what would happen if they, if that company came in and wanted to buy a bunch of ad spots on the podcast? You know, it kind of ruins my ability to tell people, hey, I drink one of these, like it kind of, it sullies. It sullies all that. It's one of those things where, like, everyone, back when those guys, when Dave and all them were talking about their, like, Zojirushi thermoses and stuff, there were people that were like, man, those guys should, you know, those guys should be paying you for advertising. Those guys should be, you know, those guys should buy ads on the show because you guys like it so much. It's like, no, well, why would they? They're already getting the net benefit of the advertising for free. And our business guy actually did contact Zojirushi at one point, and their response was like, yeah, we don't have any money for a U.S. advertising budget. I mean, thanks. We're glad you like the products. Like, it's awesome. But, nah. Early on, the same dude contacted Gatorade because on those first few podcasts, we were talking about Gatorade Tiger a lot. And Gatorade's response was, you know, we're looking for a little more athletic image than what you've got going on. Which I thought was pretty fucking funny. I mean, obviously, it's a sports drink. That's, you know, not even necessarily a personal slight. It's more just, yeah, video games, not really our category. But that's the thing that, like, video game sites are running into more and more with video game ads, is that a lot of times the big video games don't have to fucking run ads on video game websites because the people that go to video game websites already know about that ad, that game. That game's gonna get covered by that video game website. You don't need to buy ads to inform people about the date a thing is out. And increasingly, it's all demographics. Like, if you want... Like, let's say you are putting out a game in which people get shot in the head over and over again. And it comes out every November. And you need to fucking... You know, you feel like you need to reach people. You don't go to a video game site for that. The people on that video game site are well aware that your fucking face shooting game is coming out. Some of them are even deathly sick of it. Instead you go for the demographics, you go up a level, you don't buy ads directly on a website, you go to an exchange that sells ad units across a ton of different websites, and you buy ads there, targeting a specific demographic. You go, I only want to show up on sites where the demographics are, you know, like, what, 94% male, 18 to 24, you know, like, whatever you're trying to reach. Or you just go buy that demographic on Facebook. You know? Like, there are ways to get to messages to those sorts of people that don't involve you going to the ad team at a video game website and saying, we want to put ads on your stuff. But then sometimes they still do it out of force of habit. So, I don't know. I logged out the other day and there were a bunch of ads for the Call of Duty multiplayer beta on Giant Bomb. I was like, you know what? That's cool. But I think anyone who wants to know about that multiplayer beta probably already knows about it. And the thing that's happening with us is, you know, the thing we have to kind of continue to think about is this idea of, like, websites and, like, or content consumption, right, is what it all comes down to. Like, we produce long motherfucking videos, unlike, like, the rest of the internet. We produce long videos the way Netflix does, the way Crunchyroll does. You know, like, those are the sites that we are... that, you know, you think about, like, or we think about a lot, you know, and it's tempting to kind of fall back into the old mentality and go like, well, we need to compare ourselves to other video game websites. How are we doing there? It's like, who fucking cares about video game websites? Like, we're a, you know, if you break it down, we're a content distributor. We put out hour-long, long form content the way Glenn Beck does for subscribers. You know, it's like, you look at that stuff, it's like, we're kind of, like, that's the sort of stuff that, you know, I have to think about, like, as we grow and change and kind of figure out, you know, where we want to be. So, I have to think about it in terms of, like, you know, what's our Roku app look like these days? Like, we need to make some updates there. Like, we need to kind of fix that stuff. There's all, obviously, like, that's not me, like, abandoning the website. I think that, like, you know, there's a lot of stuff we need to do to the website, and, like, I'm having a ton of conversations about that, too. But, you know, increasingly, it's not about that. It's about, you know, like, what are all the other ways people are potentially reaching our video? It's YouTube. It's, you know, it's Facebook, increasingly, you know, you know, where are people getting our podcast? Like, what apps are they using to get the podcast? Do we support those apps? Does it work? Like, is there anything we can do to make that a cleaner experience for people? Like, podcasts are even crazier because there's a bunch of third-party apps that handle that stuff. With the video stuff, generally, it's like, we have apps on Plex, and we have a Plex channel. We have a Roku, app. We have... there's a Windows Store app that will probably work on, that's not officially ours, like, someone made it, and it's cool, but, like, when the Xbox One Windows 10 App Store kind of unification happens later this year, that will probably get us an Xbox One app, and then it's like, okay, well, we need a PS4 app, I want parity there, that seems weird to be on one and not the other. What's it take to get us on PS4? Like, years ago when we investigated that sort of stuff, it was crazy expensive, and it was crazy expensive. So, you know, the company kind of backed away from it a little bit. But, like, I look at it now and go, like, man, we need to do this. Like, how do we make sure that shit works better on phones? Like, do we need an app out there on phones? Do we need to take one of the existing apps out there on phones and go, like, hey, let's put some work into this one. Let's put some money, you know, like something like that. Like, how do we approach that stuff? To make sure that people are seeing our stuff, and also to make sure that, like, that's a good experience for premium members, or, you know, if they're not premium, to make sure that there's, like, an ad attached to it or something like that, because ultimately it's all bandwidth cost, you know? Like, the downside of, like, saying fuck short form videos, fuck these 3 to 5 minute videos, is that people push play on something and walk away and watch this entire video, and that gets expensive. As it turns out, we spend more in video bandwidth, or we spend about as much in video bandwidth as sites much larger than us, because we produce a lot of video, and people watch it. Or people push play on it, at least. I, you know, who could say? So, you know, then you start to think about, like, okay, well, if you look at video advertising, like, right now, the way we're set up is people push play, they see one ad at the front of it, and then that's it. And no one else does that. Television doesn't do that. Hulu doesn't do that. Most other video services don't do that. You know, like, mid-roll advertising is a thing. And, you know, is that something we need to investigate a little bit more? And does that increase our ad blocker rate? And, you know, like, the push and pull, like, everything's got pros and cons, right? You know, you have to kind of figure out, like, what's the exact right mix of... What's the exact right mix for this stuff for right now? And that mix will change. And, you know, you have to kind of figure out how to make that stuff work. Mid-roll ads are terrible. I mean, yeah, I'm not sitting here saying I like mid-roll ads. I mean, I don't like any ad, right? But at some point, the reality of it is like, well, you know, okay, what are you going to do to make this, like, work as a sustainable thing? And it's, you know, like, for us, it's been, like, hey, premium video, and, you know, making sure the ads on the podcast are good, and that's been effective. Oh, this fucking tunnel.
Okay.
Crime Coast Gangster Party update. That's a that's an email in my inbox. I don't know what any of those words mean when put together in that way. Traffic through here really sucks. Here we go. All right. Let me make some moves here.
Right now, we damn near done quick. I'm gonna die before I lie to my peoples on the block. It's like front, you gon' shoot when you ain't got no Glock. You bet not.
That's a front trick.
This is how we run shit. I'm finna pitch a fit, cause I'm tired of hearing gums. Why you motherfuckers get up out and go for single when the real high rollers draft the army to protect their freedom?
Confusion. This is a system based on prostitution. They done yanked you. Don't be no stank fool with they solution. Unless you got about a million semi-automatics, you gon' think you striving through them post-style acrobatics.
No, I don't have it like that. Planet Pilot ain't got it. Keep my whole life saving stuffed in my back pocket. Block it. I'm scraping fronts off like black, no slack. I come realistic like Radio Shack. Intact, in fact, motherfuckers finally get they shit right. Ain't no fight, they scared shitless. All they do is grab the mic. Ain't no organizing real shit on the street. It's a fleet of revolutionaries in the studio making beats. So fuck the fame, fuck the game, fuck the riches, fool. I ain't got shit unless all my folks gon' have it. Motherfuckers done made a name for they self.
But a name don't mean well.
Let me up you on the shit.
If we was up on this just to get up out the ghetto, let me tell you right now, we damn near done quit. Now motherfuckers done made a name for themselves.
But a name don't mean well.
Let me up you on this shit.
If we was up in this just to get up out the ghetto, let me tell you right now, we damn near done quit.
You guys are right. I wish I liked Trine more than I do. Trine seems like a fucking solid concept, but man, I just have not wanted to play those games for longer than like 10 or 20 minutes. And, like, Trine 3's, like, more fully 3D environments and stuff just seemed, like, not the way to go. I don't know. I think Brad is liking it, but... There was a voice in my head earlier this week that said, maybe you should check out the, Heroes of the Storm tutorial. Maybe just play the tutorial. No, I can't. No. All right. Yeah, a guy walking up the alley in front of the car really slowly. That's a cool move. I gotta go. Anyway, yeah, we'll do the show today. I'll probably mess around with some Mario Maker there, if maybe. I'll see you later. Have a good Friday.